Good morning. So I want to correct one thing here that he said, and that is if you have your offering in his cash, don't give it to the greeters. Because Costco's open, all right? Okay, I'm just kidding. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. That's good to be. So I want to take a few minutes here to honor our high schoolers that help in Kids Quest, okay? And they're all sitting over here, so as I name them, they got to stand up, okay? Brooke, okay? Yeah, yeah. She helps in second and third graders. You know what's really nice about this is when we were kids in church and you're in high school, you taught Sunday school a lot of times, and so it's really neat to see our kids. Allie, if you'll stand up. Yeah. Allie does kindergarten and first. Brock, okay, helps with preschool and kindergarten. And then Mary, yeah, second and third graders. And then Emma Mason, where is she? Not here? Okay. Yeah, she helps wherever she's needed. So thank you guys for your service. We really appreciate it. Okay, now you can go. Yeah. They're thinking, how can we get out of here? Okay. All right. So let's go to our time of silent prayer. Let's pray for your heart this morning. And we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving and gratitude and gratefulness. And let's just stop for a minute and take our big breath because Thanksgiving is coming. And in our household, there's going to be a minimum of 36 coming. And so it's a big deal. So it's like, I'm already tired and it's only Sunday, you know. So let's just stop, set those things aside. Just pray for your open heart this morning. Pray for me, and then I'll be back for a prayer request. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to have a good open heart in what you have to say to us. And Lord, may we really learn the attitude and of gratitude and faith and thankfulness, Lord. Be with me as I speak. For you have a prayer request, just raise your hand and let me pray for you. Father, pray for all those who have their hands up, whatever it may be in their life. We just ask, Lord, that you be with them. Hear our cry, O Lord. You're our dad, and that's what the scripture says, and we're calling on you as dad to help us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to start with a psalm this morning and read it to you, and I want you to think about the words on this. Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, as I read that, I don't know if you see this in that, but do you know that when you believe that God is good, it creates thanksgiving in your heart? It has to, right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You know, it wasn't until later in my growing up years, around somewhere around 10 to 12, that Thanksgiving for us was vegetables. I lived with a vegan mom, and she was vegan not because she was trying to keep the animals safe and, you know, do the right thing by society, the cool thing, but she believed in transmigration, you would think a reincarnation type of thing. Only you come back as animals, the bugs, and that kind of thing. In fact, she used to tell her dad, you're going to come back as a weasel. She told him that. Well, anyhow, due to those religious beliefs, it was kind of a self-made religion. God was certainly not the focus. It was a cult. And I do remember having to be thankful on Thanksgiving, but it was really about the forefathers and their thanking God because they made it through. And so we're observing their Thanksgiving, not really our Thanksgiving. But you know, when Christ came into our home, Thanksgiving was a completely different thing because they'd been rescued from a cult, they'd been rescued from their sin, they were rescued from a purposeless life, and so our tradition became Thanksgiving as we were thankful. And one of the things that we learned to do on Thanksgiving, and we still, many of you do that, is we go around the circle before we eat and pray and talk about what we're thankful for. And that was so neat to be able to experience that kind of a thing even as a kid. You know, the Bible has much to say about Thanksgiving and giving of thanks. Colossians 3:15-17 is probably one of the more famous passages on Thanksgiving, and it resets my attitude on the path of Thanksgiving that I want to walk in and go on. Okay, so I'm going to read the underline, and you read the non-underline. We're going to do it really loud because it's Thanksgiving week, right? Yes. Okay, all right. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in your heart, always teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Boy, I love that passage because it carries so much about grace and thanksgiving together. And, you know, when you ponder that, and we've been pondering over the last several weeks about the gospel of grace that we have, where it's by faith alone through Jesus Christ, and grace awakens us to thanksgiving. And, you know, it's a privilege, it's actually an honor of God accepting us as his people, which he richly loves. And the question might be, how could we not be thankful, right? How could we not? You know, and as the opening slide had, grace, we have the freedom to be thankful. And that really is true because we have the freedom to be able to thank God and thank him for the grace that he's given us. And when we perceive ourselves to somehow have earned our salvation, and I think you know what I mean, you know, through maybe we serve him or we pay our tithe or a double tithe or we attend church all the time and we raise our kids right and we do things for God because we struggle with this thankful heart, with the acceptance of grace. That it's all him and it's none us. Right? Do you hear me this morning? And, you know, it's a struggle to have that thankful heart, but instead we feel kind of maybe even entitled at times because we serve God. And I think if everything that I do and in word and deed is done in my name, my actions, my doing, then I'm not wanting to give thanks to the Father, right? Pity. That maybe we think we should be thankful for us to others. So, I want to illustrate this. You know, Deb and I go on vacation, and it's a time of gratefulness for us. You know, every other year we end up kind of going out of the country, and then every other year we stay around, But we will go to another country and we'll be watching what they do. We'll be listening to their language. We'll be looking at their culture and the things that are kind of neat to see. is somewhere along the line, as we experience all this, and it becomes overwhelming. I don't know if you've traveled the world and felt that same kind of thing, but it becomes almost overwhelming is the only word I can think. And you know, it's overwhelming at how thankful that we are, that we're able to see this, we're able to see God's creation. And Deb and I will look at each other with that amazement, and all of a sudden we'll be sitting at lunch or something like that, and it happens every time, and we look at each other, and all of a sudden we begin to tear up. Now, my tears leak, hers don't, okay? She just gets red around the rims. We just have to ask ourselves the question, how can we be so fortunate? You know, how can we... it never occurred to us when we got married that we would ever have any of these kind of opportunities. But grace is something we don't earn or deserve. And we don't deserve going on vacation. We don't deserve anything. Amen? Amen. And yet God just is bountiful. And so as I look at that, I think about how grace means undeserved favor, or it's and we're able to travel and see bits of the world, and like I said, the cultures, the beauties, and it just overwhelms us. And it overwhelms us. And let me give you a little piece of knowledge here. When you travel by yourself, it doesn't count. Do you know what I mean? You travel by yourself and you see all these things, but if somebody isn't with you to verify it, it's almost like you didn't go. And so Deputy and I discovered that. So when we go together, we kind of verify, hey, look at here, look at what we're looking at, you know, and it's just a really good time. So we feel this sense of gratitude, this attitude of gratitude that God is so good no matter what. And so... Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 really kind of zeroes in on this. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. When he says the bond of perfection, it means bringing together perfect unity. Bringing together perfect unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. Be thankful. God tells us to love, how we live in unity and peace that rules our heart, and to be thankful. Think about this. When God tells you and I to do something, it isn't for His sake, it's for our own sake. Do you get that? God has everything He needs. He doesn't need our thanks. He doesn't need any of that. But He tells us to love and be at peace and be thankful, because it's good for us to do that. And so He gives, and there's nothing in return that we can do. And so God loves us, and we have to accept that by grace, and that eventually turns into the attitude of gratitude. Now, I looked up to see what gratitude meant, and it's in the Latin, it's gratia, and depending on the context, it means, it's translated as grace. Oh, surprise, right? Grace, graciousness, or gratefulness. Gratitude has never become an easy thing for us as humans, does it? It's always a battle. We tend to focus on what we lack, what other people have and we don't. Whereas gratitude is a feeling of appreciation and of what we already have, and even more than we have, right? I've said this before. Look in your garage. You'll see how rich you are. And so it's the recognition that the good in our life is dependent upon someone outside of us, outside of our control, which happens to be our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Gosh. So in my example of Debbie and me on vacation being overwhelmed with gratitude, it's not the vacation, is it? But stopping to observe our whole life and that we live and breathe in God's goodness coming from God Himself. That's what it really is. And when we're thankful, everything becomes a gift, God says. Even in the difficult times in life when it's very hard and it's coming down on us and nothing's turning out right, it's a gift. In fact, in Philippians, he says he's given us the gift of suffering. Oh, thanks. You know? Gratitude is not an effort or a recipe or an artificial attempt or a strategy or a forced routine. Gratitude comes from moral character. You know, and I was looking at Marcus Tullius Cicero. Now, Cicero was a Roman statesman, an orator, a lawyer, a philosopher, and he lived from 106 B.C. to 43 B.C. And in his writings, he poetically defined gratitude as the queen of virtues, the queen of qualities, that if we have thanksgiving, if we have gratitude, it pretty much irons everything out when you think it puts everything back in order. Colossians 2:6, let me read this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And then I put having been, because these are perfect, it happened in the past with present type of consequences. It says, having been rooted and having been built up in him and established in the faith, you have been taught abounding in thanksgiving. And so we grow deeply in Christ Jesus, and it can't help but form a thankful heart, a gratitude. So I want to clarify a few things for us to think about during this week. The emotion of gratitude is different than the attitude of gratitude. You get what I'm saying? We can have the emotion. We could be polite. Or maybe we could express gratitude because somebody did something for us and it's short-lived on the appropriate occasions. Or without it necessarily being that we have a gracious and gratitude attitude. But the attitude of gratefulness is more than that emotion. It's the recognition that life is about a benefactor, one who gives towards us, and that is the God of the Bible. He's our benefactor. He gives, and we receive. And we don't know how to give back, right? When it comes down to it, how do we give back? And once we see God's great gifts, not only of salvation, but of eternal life, of peace, of unity, of family membership, of acceptance, of forgiveness, then the attitude of thanksgiving or gratitude begins to grow. And it becomes about God, and it becomes about others, not about us. It no longer centers around me or you. Romans 1:21 is one of my favorite passages because it aligns us as a believer with the right attitudes and is stated in the negative, but we can take out the positive, okay, in what people don't do that get them in trouble. And it helps us to understand and accept the positive, what we should do. So I want to read it, and I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction. Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, and if you read the context, that means everybody that's ever taken a breath on this earth. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, I want to use myself as the example, okay, because I don't really want to point any of you out. So I'm going to use myself as the example. But this portion of Romans 1 changed my life when I read it. It Help me become from a Christ follower to a Christ-centered Christian. Because it deeply motivated me to see what's going on in the world, what they're not doing. As a result, it taught me what I should be doing. And so watch the scriptures here as you look at them. And then, but when I start this negative process in my mind, if you were watching me, you would probably not even know where I'm headed, which is down the wrong path, because it's in my head. And sometimes I even deceive myself into thinking I am not doing that. And it's usually camouflaged differently each time, so it's easy to be deceived. But let me give you 8 points of this process, okay? If you take a hard look, you'll find yourself in these steps. Number one, I allow my heart for God to slip away and just become head knowledge. You ever feel that way? Where you're having a really good time with the Lord and you feel pretty good, and then all of a sudden it just becomes head knowledge and you're just going through the motions. Then I neglect glorifying or worshiping God as God and start elevating me by making everything in my life about me because I'm not doing good enough. It's my fault and those kind of things. And so I begin to feel bad about myself, and so I raise myself up. 3. And at that point, I stop being thankful, like the scripture said. So instead, I start taking care of me and my own wisdom, yet still utilizing all his benefits. But then I get into obsessing. I'm a great obsessor. If anybody needs to learn to do that, see me after, okay? I'll show you how to do that real well. But I begin to obsess and plan. Oh, I go right for the list and get a plan together, and I start conspiring and fixing and loving with false motives, not realizing I'm doing it consciously so much. And my thoughts then become futile, useless, pointless, unsuccessful, lacking in wisdom. Thinking myself very smart, I actually become a fool. I've lost control. I've lost faith. Totally self-centered. And at that point, my foolish heart thinks it's wise. But to everyone else, I expose my foolishness, and they are right. Number 6. Then I begin to exchange God's truth for the world's lies. And we have a lot of world's lies, don't we? How many have we bought into this world, especially right now with all this turmoil going on? In the U.S., I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so we begin to think, I should go. And we are starting to condone sin. We're starting to condone all these things. And I begin to exchange God's truth for the lies, and as the giver of my life for thankfulness that he's given to me. And instead, I go down that channel. And finally, number 8, I come to my senses. Right? I come to my senses and stop and repent of my foolishness to God. Not that I'm not forgiven. I'm already forgiven. But I want him to know how stupid I really am. Are you following me? Okay, you're kind of staring at me. Okay. In the worship of God and become grateful comes back to me when I repent. Bottom line, the attitude of gratitude, thankfulness, gratefulness stops that downward process. And we can breathe again. Isn't it nice when we're in Christ and we know we're in Christ? And we can breathe again, sing again, worship again, because we are not the God of our life. We are not. Sometimes we think we are. We are not. So I want to read the beginning, Psalms 100. And I want to read this first line, have us do something. And then we're going to go to communion, okay? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, what does he mean by that? Make a joyful noise, right? So you're going to make a joyful noise with me, all right? I'm going to count to three, and when I count to three, we're going to give God noise and clap our hands and shout. Are you ready? Okay, are you awake? Okay, one, two, three. Yay! Woo! Woo! Okay, that got us through the first verse. No, that feels kind of good, doesn't it? Give him the glory. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Have a good Thanksgiving Thursday. And we're going to stop right here, and we're going to, there's two tables over here and two tables over here. If you're new here, you're very welcome to join us. We're going to celebrate Christ's death, and the fact that because of that death, he saved us. And so, and then we're going to come back and we're going to worship. They're going to start playing worship music and come back and let's worship together, and I'll be back up to help us worship Christ. You know, I was thinking how a lot of times we sing songs, but when we're singing this song, did you read that line, "The veil is torn"? You know, when Christ was on the cross, he lowered his head and said, "It is finished." And when he finished, when he said the word "finished," the veil in the temple tore right down the middle. And that's historical. That's not just biblical. The veil torn, and the reason the veil torn was because we didn't need animal sacrifice anymore. Romans talks about in the forbearance of God, the patience of God, that he was patient about the sins of the people till that day that his son came and shed his blood. And once he shed his blood, there was no reason for animal sacrifice anymore. So the veil tore all the way down as a symbol to us that through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that great? And when he was with the disciples, they didn't have a clue. When he broke the bread and he broke it off and gave it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me," and let's remember him this morning. And then he took the cup after supper, it says, and he said, "This is the cup that is the cup of redemption, that it wipes away our sin." And I look at that, he said that then, and then in his shedding blood, it wiped and erased away our sin. How can we pay that back? There's no way we can pay that back. We can only celebrate it. So my friends, let's drink to Christ. Remember to him. Father, we come this morning. The things that you had planned and the things that you did were almost unaware. And yet when we take these moments, Lord, to look at you and see what, when you say, when you got done living out the law and you got done living and ministering to what you needed to do, you said it was finished. And that veil tore, Lord. And because of that veil tore, we no longer have to try to do something for our sins. You've taken care of it. So we come to honor you this morning and praise you, Lord, this morning, because you are the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we worship you this morning and we shouted to you, Lord, in glory of you. Well, heads are bowed. I don't know if you've come this morning, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ yet. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God or the standards of God, and the wages of that sin is eternal death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if I'm talking to you this morning, the rest of you pray, and you want to ask Christ in your life, there's a verse that tells us how to do it. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. So I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can pray along with me, realizing you're going to ask Christ to come into your life this morning. And the prayer goes like this, and just follow along or repeat with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as the verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. And its heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to just stick your hand up and put it back down. Let God know you meant business, and let us begin to pray for you. Just raise your hand up, put it back down, if that's a decision you made this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your glory and your understanding and the things that you give to us over and over and over. And Lord, may our heart be with you. May we grow this heart of gratitude that we might be thankful in all things, just as you tell us to do. May that just automatically come to us, Lord. And we give you the honor and the glory and the shout this morning, because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And may you be blessed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.